Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good afternoon and welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live today from our new Max 6 studio in Tempe. I am very pleased to welcome to the studio for the first time Kevin and Randy Tudor with Tudor Financial Group. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
We're happy to be here.
I'm thrilled to get to know both of you and hear a little bit more about your business. I know we've had a chance to talk a couple of times, but today we're really going to hunker down and get into the nitty-gritty of who is Tudor Financial Group and what are you all about. So let's start with a basic statement from the list for the listeners. Just kind of a little summary about what is and who is Tudor Financial Group and who do you serve?
All right. We're an accounting and tax firm. I have been in business since 1985, and my son Kevin and I have decided to just build a business. I was actually on my way thinking of retiring a little bit, slowing down. I had a large practice with a lot of employees and staff, and I just decided that my clientele got too many, and I didn't know them personally, and I didn't like that. I was very uncomfortable with other people doing the work that I wanted to be doing for my clients. So I started kind of phasing out a little bit. And Kevin then said, well, why are we doing this? I want to do this with you. He's always been working with me since he was 18, doing some facet of accounting work for some of my clients. And he's always heard me talking about it. And so we just decided to re-energize the business and to start in growth mode. I've been turning away referrals over the past few years. And now we're in the mode where we're turning it around and looking for referrals and looking to grow our business again.
Yeah. I mean, my dad has had so much knowledge throughout these years. I mean, as he said, he started the business in 1985. So what is that? 33 years now of knowledge and experience with clients. And as he was winding down, that was the decision he made. And we just didn't feel like it made sense to be saying, no, I'm not turning away these clients, turning away these referrals. And, you know, it was always something for me that I was passionate about as well. Doing, it sounds funny to say I was passionate about accounting and taxes. And I have always felt like I was an accountant since age 4 or 5 because I would listen to him talk about situations and talk about what he was going through and some of his experiences. And it just didn't feel right to be letting that go and letting that experience go away. So now we are in this mode of growth again that he really hasn't been in since, when was the last time you were in growth mode?
10 years.
10 years.
Wow.
10 years ago. So we're getting back into a new mode, and it's exciting and it's fun, and we're really enjoying some of the new clients we're meeting and working with our existing clients. And it's just been a great ride so far.
And what did you do prior? Had you stepped into a career that wasn't tax related?
Yes. When I started right out of college, I graduated at ASU, Arizona State, with a finance degree. And when I graduated, I just knew I was going to do financial planning, financial services, things like that. I always kind of had the entrepreneurial spirit. So I wanted to have my own practice, kind of like my dad. And I wanted to go the financial services route because we knew he was thinking of winding down his tax and accounting business. And as I got into that, I started out with an independent financial advisor. I started out partnering with him. And as I got into that, it just wasn't resonating with me. Some of the things that I felt like I needed to do in order to be a success in that business, some of the products I had to sell, the things, just the conversations I had to have with clients, it didn't match my values. And so that's really when the conversation started with us in terms of well, maybe we should get back into growth mode in this tax and accounting business.
Right. And I just want to say, even though I was scaling back in 10 years, I was very intense with the clientele that I had. And I of course, continued to do all my continuing education, and I continued to learn and grow in tax and finance. And we also did some financial planning at that time. I worked in financial planning with clients. And so we were kind of broadening into other areas, not just accounting and tax. But then we just, again, I had the same issues that Kevin describes. I just didn't believe in the products that were being offered in the financial community. I just didn't believe in the concept. We think that people should do things for themselves as much as they can. And we wanted to encourage and guide those people, both in accounting, in tax, and investing. And so that's kind of the direction we started to go in. And then we saw that really everybody we were coming in contact with, they were needing tax advice. They were needing, some of them had businesses and they wanted to know who they could go to. And they just didn't seem to be getting what they needed from their accountants. And again, we thought, well, why aren't we helping these people? These are the people we want to be working with. These are the people we want to help.
Yeah. And it was the field that you knew, that right. You were comfortable in. And it was a field that the taxes was a field that I, like I said, had always been comfortable in because I had just grown up with that. And the financial planning just was not, it just didn't have that same feeling. So I started out there and moved on from there, but glad to have the experience.
And so do you offer financial planning now, or is it really around tax preparation? Yeah. And
I am no longer registered as a financial advisor because, again, the type of business that we're doing really doesn't warrant that. If you are a financial advisor, you have to sign contracts with different financial providers, and you have to commit to selling their products. Mm-hmm. And mutual funds, things like that, all things that we have just not really believed in.
We offer now retirement planning we use retirement planning software for some of our clients, and we offer retirement planning advice in terms of not saying you should be buying this mutual fund and you should be getting into this life insurance product, but what are your goals and how can you go about getting there? We're not recommending a certain portfolio allocation.
But it's education.
It's education driven and really all about getting our clients to understand, not just saying, closing their eyes and saying, tell me where to put my money. We don't, that's fine for some, but we don't want to work with those people. We want to work with the clients, the people who want to have some control in what they do and understanding what they're doing. So we will do retirement planning for that percentage of people who want that sort of service, that sort of education. But that's kind of secondary now to our main arm of the business.
The word that keeps showing up for me is how refreshing. Like I would imagine your clients say that this feels just like a natural fit, that they're being educated and they make their own choices based on the knowledge and the guidance that you give them instead of trying to shove them into certain packages or programs.
Right. Which is what I have always found in doing accounting and tax work. People get financial statements that they don't understand. Nobody takes the time to explain issues to them and how this matters and how they can improve their bottom line. They really don't have those discussions. They just spit out financial statements and say, here you go. And the client doesn't understand it. And it's the same thing with tax returns. It was always frustrating that clients would get the tax returns and they had no idea what it meant. And if they were involved in the wrong investment because of their tax brackets or whatever, they didn't know that. Nobody shared that information with them. They just did their tax returns, handed it back to them, told them how much they owed or what their refund was, and another year was behind them. And I wanted people to understand that if you do this, if you do that, you can improve your situation. You can drop your tax bill. And I would try to point out where people think that deductions matter, where they really weren't mattering, but nobody was communicating that with them. So we're all about trying to communicate and educate our clients at anything we do to the level that they want. Now, there are some clients that don't want that.
Right.
We understand that. And that's fine. But the clients that really do want that, we want to be able to provide that and give them more service by educating them and telling them what this all means. It's not, you know, we try to connect with our clients and try to really fill their needs.
Yeah.
And identify their needs.
One of the biggest compliments we get, and I know, Dad, you've got throughout the years, one of the biggest compliments we can get is when somebody says, wow, thank you for taking the time to explain that. Mm-hmm. You've made this process simple. You've made this not so stressful. We were so stressed out. We had clients who have back taxes or haven't filed their returns for years or have a year or two of reconciling on their accounting to do. And we try to take the role of saying, it's not that big a deal. Let's be calm. We're going to take care of it and we'll get to the issue and we'll solve it. And you'll be taken care of by time, you know, this is over. And that's our biggest compliment is when somebody says, thank you for making this understandable and simple.
People get easily embarrassed when they get themselves into a bad situation. They might be into a heavy debt situation, or they haven't filed tax returns, or their books are a mess. And they're very embarrassed by that. And we try to make it comfortable to just, let's work it out. Every problem that you encounter can be solved. So let's do that.
I have a personal experience with that feeling. I've been with the same accountant for years. And for the first several years that I went in there, I was in tears every time. And I was in a bad situation. It was a previous marriage, and I'll take responsibility for some of it too, partly not knowing. Numbers are not my thing.
Right.
So it's important to have people like you in my life. But I have felt that embarrassment, that shame, that lack of knowledge, that inability to think mindfully around math. Thank God that's changed since then with her help. And clearly that's what you do as well. Mm-hmm. But I remember the first time I went in there around tax time, didn't cry, didn't feel shame, wasn't embarrassed because she had helped me through the years get clear about what I need to do. And I remember saying, oh my gosh, like the weight has been lifted finally. So I would imagine that's what you're sharing, that people mm-hmm. just have got to be so appreciative and grateful for the education, the knowledge, and the consistent caring for them and their financial well-being. And we know that financial well-being is very well tied to, obviously, our health, our well-being health-wise, and emotional well-being, right? I mean,
right.
I'm saying that we've had that conversation before, but isn't money and the way we manage it or the lack of one of the most major stressors that we have?
Oh, yeah. You're exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, we've had people come in where it's just consuming their lives, where it's not even necessarily that big of a situation, but to them, it's their whole world and it's just completely depressing them and bringing them down. And that's not what should happen. That shouldn't happen. So yeah, I mean, the emotional well-being is a huge part of it, of getting your finances in order. Having, we use the word a lot, hope and peace with your finances, and having hope that you will be okay in the future, down the road, and be able to get a handle on what you have going on, whether that's a simple situation or a complicated situation. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, we had someone come to us about a month ago, and it was a couple, and they had 5 years of tax, six years.
2013,
14, 5 years.
Of back taxes.
Of back taxes. And they were fighting. Their marriage was struggling largely because of that.
Sure.
And they thought it was just going to be such a task. And they had talked to some other companies and they got quoted some ridiculously high rates. We think that, and they stopped. They just didn't go back. They didn't do it. So another year would go by. You know, at the time it was 3 years, then it became 4 years, then it became 5 years of not filing. And it was no big deal. And we just tried to put them at ease and work through it. And their returns were pretty simple.
Yeah.
And
gosh, and the weight that's lifted.
Right. And they acknowledge that. They feel real good about that.
Yeah.
So that's what gives us joy.
Yeah, that's right.
Is helping people like that, taking complicated matters and trying to make it simple for them at least.
Yeah. I know a part of your business, and again, I say I know. I'm learning a little bit more about Tudor Financial Group. Do you offer webinars, and are none of those webinars for your clients, or is that a way to tell more people about who you are and how you work? How do you utilize your webinars in your business?
Our webinars are mainly geared for helping people on the investment end.
Oh.
Right. Those are our regularly scheduled people subscribe to those. So we have that arm of our business. But we also use webinars to review tax returns with people. When they get their tax returns, if they have questions or if there's some things that we want to point out and they can't get into the office, then we'll encourage them to do a go-to meeting.
Yes.
And we'll share the screens with them and we'll go through what we're seeing and show that to them on their screen. and just discuss the returns like we were sitting before them. And we like to go through a lot of two-year comparisons and show them the differences in the years and why things look so differently this year, why they're getting a refund or why they might owe more, and how we can change things for next year. And we can do tax planning with them right there with using our software, and we can show them what we do. In the office, we have to do it on our computer and spin it around and show them. It's much easier to do by webinar.
And I'd imagine they feel comfortable in their own home too, right? There's not the travel time. And I know you can, people can make an appointment and see you in the office, but how nice that you offer this as well, because they can be in their own environment, don't have to travel and make arrangements for that.
Not as intimidating sometimes for them to be able to do. And like you were saying, sometimes you can just get easier access to the information that we want to share. If it's not just a simple conversation, if we want to show either tax software, or even more often we do it with our QuickBooks accounting clients, where we'll run through some financial reports or run through some inputs on QuickBooks setup or consultation. We tend to do a lot of those online meetings because we need to be on the computer the whole time anyway. So why not allow you to do it either in your office or at your house on the computer rather than coming in? So it's been a nice addition, a technological addition to the traditional physical meeting spot for sure.
Love it. How do the two of you work together? I mean, do you love that? And is it side by side every day? And tell me a little bit about what that's like for each of you.
It isn't side by side every day. We spend probably 2.5 days together. Mm-hmm. 2.5 to 3 days
and
a week together.
Parts of days.
Right. Not all day, usually. Tuesdays, we happen to spend all day together. The other times, we'll spend 3 hours or 4 hours a day. And we'll each take our own appointments and do our own thing and do our own work. But oftentimes, what we're doing, especially as we're building a new client base, is we are doing it together. And so we have a lot of clients, especially the accounting clients, that want both of us. And one of the things they comment, in fact, we had a meeting right after our conference on Sunday. We met with a prospective client, and he became a client on that day. But one of the things he said at the end is he said, "I just love this. I love this. I have got the old and the new. I've got the old
I don't know
and
which
young.
One was which. Yeah, right. Who's old, who's new. Yeah.
I've got good experience, and I've got good young thinking knowledge."
Yes.
Well, and there's some just dynamic synergy between the two of you, of course. Not every father-son pair is like that. We know that whether in their business together or, you know, they're just family.
Right.
There's clearly this great pride and sense of love and affinity amongst the two of you that's very apparent. So I'm guessing that's what he alluded to in addition to the knowledge.
Right.
And do you need help? I can point out who's older and who's younger if you need help
it's
with
the gray
that.
Hair.
Right. Matching my gray hair. Maybe a little bit wider, Randy.
Yeah, we work together a lot, you know, like you said, not all day, every day, but we work together a lot, and we do outside Toastmasters. That's where we met you, Karen. We do that together outside as well. But we do get along, and that's huge. Obviously, we wouldn't be able to do this business otherwise. And my brother also, who is not in our business yet, you know, in a full-time mode, but he's with us, gets along with us as well. And I don't know what the key to that is. I don't know what I'd say the key to that is, but we work well where we make a good father-son team, but we also make a good partner team, a good business partner team, where we can have, I think a key to that is having the ability to have healthy conversations with each other and be honest with each other, not necessarily always treat it like a father-son relationship, because that's not always the right thing to do in operating a business. And that's something I've talked a lot with. I know many people who are in business with their family, in a small business. And, you know, sometimes I know you've heard similar things where people warn you about that. Oh, don't get in business with family and watch out for this. And we don't have that. We have disagreements once in a while, but nothing that's been bad at all.
And disagreements are healthy. Sometimes we have to have them, as long as you know that you can work through it.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot of trust and respect for each other. I know I trust Kevin's knowledge. I trust his mind. And I know that just because this is the way I've thought, this is the way I've done it, he might have a better idea and we'll hash that out. And sometimes I win, sometimes you win. But we enjoy that. We get into some heavy discussions and where we're just completely disagreeing with each other. But by the end of the day, we've decided which route to go, which route to take. And we're at peace with that. And we move on and we don't hold grudges. And when the day ends, we're still family. Yeah. And like Kevin was saying, we have the same relationship with our other son, and he's involved. He is he is director of finance for ASU Athletics. So he has finance, his finance degree.
Yeah, right.
But he's worked at ASU Athletics ever since he was going to school there, and he loves that job. And he would love to join us too, but he loves that job. So that's what he's doing right now. Mm-hmm. But he's still an integral part, and he has some great ideas for us, and he has a great mind. And so we all tap into each other's different skill levels and different ways of thinking.
Yeah, and we try to play between my dad and I, we try to play off each other's strengths because we are similar in a lot of ways. I think when people first meet us or even just know us for a little while, they think you guys are so similar in so many ways, and our personalities are very much the same, but we each have certain strengths that we try to take advantage of and play off that. And it's gelled. It's just worked well in this time. And I think we're really fortunate to have that.
And how many years has it been that you've been part of the company, Kevin?
Since 2009.
Yeah, 2009. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In limited capacity earlier on, not full time, but.
And mainly working with our clients on doing financial planning and foreign currency exchange. So we did a lot with Forex, and we trained around the country. We trained people how to do Forex. And so he did that with me. And so he was dealing with that end of the business. Always getting your feet wet with taxes and accounting. Mm-hmm. Always doing accounting and helping with taxes.
Yeah, I've been doing QuickBooks for the company since 2009. That was when I was still in college, right? My last year. And so really technically that's when I joined the company in 2009. And started reporting to him.
But I can't think of a better way to spend my day than spend it with Kevin. I mean, I just love the time we get to spend together. I feel so fortunate. My wife is always reminding me of that. And life just couldn't be better than spending it with my boys. So, and my wife.
Yeah.
My wife's not in the business, but.
But she sure is a cheerleader. Right. Yeah. And obviously a big part of the winning combination as well.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about an ideal client for you. So who is it that you serve and enjoy working with most?
We kind of look at it in two different ways. We obviously have two main arms, tax business and accounting business, and sometimes there's overlap. I'll start on the accounting side. We really like working with small businesses and businesses where we can have some direct contact with the owners, and not necessarily just working with the bookkeeper
or the CFO,
but businesses small enough where we can have a relationship with the owner. Because one of the things we don't want to, with our accounting clients, our small business clients, we don't want to just reconcile their books or just, you know, make entries on their books, but we want to have planning strategies, conversations. We want to help them grow their business
and achieve their mission.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we want to have the capability to do that. So we really look at our accounting ideal client as that small business, or even we also work with many solo entrepreneurs, but definitely a smaller end company.
Right. I have a lot of colleagues in my business that they want the bigger client, the better. And I've never approached it that way, and we're not approaching it that way.
No.
We like small to mid-range at the highest, and we love working with sole proprietors and just people that are making their dreams come true.
The best thing is to be able to play even a small part in the growth, and for them to say, we started here when we were, you know, this small, and now here a few years later, we've done this, and some of that we've implemented some of your ideas, your strategies. And that's really what I think makes us passionate about that side of the business.
The most satisfaction we get is working from taking someone to their revenue is $100,000 a year to $5 million or $10 million a year. We love that.
I bet you do. I bet your clients love it too.
Yeah. And being a part of it. I mean, they're doing it. Yes. We're not doing that for them.
But when you're working with the owners themselves and you hear what their goals are and you become part of that.
Right.
You are a part of their team. And so, of course, you've had an impact on that success. That's got to feel immensely satisfying.
Mm-hmm. But I also wanted to say, as you were saying, we have two arms, the tax side. And there we like working with individuals as well. Again, some firms don't want to do individual taxes. They'd rather just concentrate on doing business tax returns. We like doing both. And certainly we like working, if we do the business tax returns, we like doing the personal tax returns for the owners. But we also just like doing our neighbors and our friends and people we come in contact with at church or in any organization we work with, neighbors, where we're doing their individual taxes. And that gives us a lot of satisfaction as well.
And I know you have over the years turned away some clients saying, you should do this on your own. You should do a couple of these on your own. I mean, for people that just have a straight W-2 and that's it, they don't need to pay a professional necessarily. We don't want to charge them a lot to do a very, very simple return.
Mm-hmm.
In most cases, it pays to have a professional do it. But in some cases, it's not always necessarily the right thing to do it. And we're not afraid to say that.
Yeah, we'll encourage them. We'll say, you know, you can do this for free online. And
yeah.
We'll try to get them to do that if it's that simple. As some people don't even want to do that, though. And we get that.
That would be me. Yeah. I mean, when I said I'm not good at numbers, I am not good at numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would much rather have someone do it, even if it meant that I had to pay to do something that could take me, 30 minutes to an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I'd much rather have you do it.
Well, and in most cases, it's more complicated than just that, but not always.
Yeah.
And you know, when it pays to have somebody who knows what they're doing in a lot of cases. But,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, we don't necessarily take everybody if they don't need it.
Yeah.
We've always been do-it-yourself people where we encourage people to do as much as they can on their own, as much as they want to do. And so we encourage that with our accounting clients, our bookkeeping clients, that if they can do it, we try to show them how to do it so they can do their own. And we even help people with their tax returns. And some of our clients do their own tax returns and then have us take a look at it and review it for them. And if we do a full review, then we can sign the tax return as well. But otherwise we just do a quick review and tell them where we think they might have some possibility of making some changes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about changes. Great segue. Tell me about the industry itself. How do you have to keep up with the changes, and is it constant? How does that fit into this picture as business owners?
Well, it is constant. You're required to take continuing education, but I've always taken a lot more than I am required to take. I love studying taxes. I was on my way up to a meeting in Flagstaff, and other people were going to the meeting as well. I mean, it was a large gathering. And on the way up there, I listened to tax tapes all the way. Just, I call them tax tapes. They're not
tapes anymore.
MP3.
Sure.
But I listened to tax law all my way up there. Nobody else in the car with me. And when I got up there, I told people what I did, and they were glad they didn't drive with me. So I've just always loved doing that. I've always been very interested in all areas of finance and accounting and tax. And so I've always just studied that and read everything I can.
Yeah.
Now, but there are times like this year where there are massive changes to the tax law that requires a lot more. So this year is unique. And, you know, it happened in 1986 when I really was first coming into the business. They had massive tax law changes. That is abnormal, mm-hmm. but certainly requires a lot more studying.
That's a changing industry almost every year. Like you said, this year and 1986 were the big years, and it'll happen again, but it's always changing. And if you're not keeping up with it, then you can be giving bad advice to clients if you're not keeping up with that. So that's something that we feel is extremely important, whether it's required or not, to understand what you need to serve your clients well.
And I think it's unique to not only serve your clients well and want to make sure that you're educated, but to really love it. And you both have said you really love it.
Yeah, I think that is unique. So yeah. Certainly among the general population, I don't think there's too many people who really love taxes.
But I think even within, and I know several accountants and bookkeepers, while people are good at it, I don't know that I've heard so many people say with such great passion that they're going to listen to the MP3 files on the way up, or that this is really just this insatiable desire to continue learning and stay up on top of it. Mm-hmm. Certainly more, I'm sure there are some in the industry. Let's talk to the tax changes this year. How is that going to impact the small business owners? Don't have to get to the nitty gritty, but are there some big changes? You alluded to this is a big year of change. Right. What does that look like for some of your clients?
Yeah, there are many changes, some of them well-publicized, some of them not, of course. And that's why it's helpful to dig in. What is it, a 500-page tax law?
So the tax law itself was 500 pages. And then the conference report that explains it was 600 pages.
Yeah. So that's our weekend reading. No.
Light reading.
We've read its interpretations of it and summaries of that, and really tried to dig in on what the changes are. The biggest thing I think that will affect the most people is the increase in the standard deduction, which means that less people going forward will itemize their deductions. So mortgage interest, real estate taxes, things like that, where people are itemizing in order to get deductions mm-hmm. to their AGI. That standard deduction is going from, for the individual, it's going from $6,350 to $12,000. And for the married filing jointly, it's going from $12,700 to $24,000.
That's
what everybody gets, no matter what. So a whole lot less people are going to be itemizing in 2018, whether they know it now or not. They will be, because they'll take the standard deduction, which is doubling this year.
In 2017, it's estimated that about 46.8 million people itemized, and that's expected to change in 2018 and go down to 18 million. So from 46.8 million down to about 18 million. So a lot of people, a lot of our clients included, will not be itemizing next year.
And again, this is from the novice perspective, but to me, that's a good thing. That's easier for me.
It is. It'll result in most people getting a bigger cut to their AGI, and therefore a lower taxes that they owe. But what it has secondary effects that not a lot of people are talking about.
Right.
And that's, like I said, the things like mortgages, home mortgages.
I see what you're referring to. Okay.
And one of our big concerns is we think it's going to impact the real estate business, and people aren't talking about that because a lot of young people aren't really inclined to buy houses anyways. But the ways realtors sell them is, well, you get a tax deduction for it. But what we're saying is you're not going to get a tax deduction. You're getting the standard deduction anyway. So just because you spend more on interest, it's not going to change anything.
It's harder to reach that threshold now for itemizing.
And then charitable contributions. We're afraid that charities are really going to start losing a lot of contributions, because most charitable contributions are made with tax motivation. They want to save taxes. And when you take that motivation away, the charitable contributions go down. So we're seeing that. But one other big area that we spend a lot of time trying to make people aware of is miscellaneous deductions are gone, and who that impacts are outside salespeople, people that drive and entertain mm-hmm. and have to pay it out of their own pockets and aren't reimbursed by their employer. And one client that I had in 2017, I mean, he's been a client for a long time. He drove his car for business in 2017, 32,000 miles. Now at 53.5 cents a mile, he can deduct over 17,000. That's gone. It's just taken away from him.
Yeah.
So even though he gets a bigger standard deduction, he's going to lose a $17,000 deduction and other things like investment advisory fees. If you pay an investment advisor 1% of your assets or 2% of your assets, that used to be deductible. That's no longer going to be deductible. Things like that. Those are the surprises that we're afraid people are going to get when they go in to do their taxes. And so we encourage everybody to get it out there, get with their accountant, especially if you're an outside salesperson using and you file what's called a Form 2106 employee business expenses. You need to see how that's going to impact you, and you need to prepare yourself for that because there's going to be a lot of disappointed clients.
Yeah. But Karen, you're right in the overall for the general population, this increase to the standard deduction is a good thing for the majority of people. They will get a tax cut at the end. It's just at the end of the year, just for some of those people who rely on some of these deductions, they should understand that they won't be available or they won't take them anymore. It won't do them any good to increase these expenditures that they can deduct because they'll take the standard deduction anyway. So
the savvy accountant and the savvy advisor is preparing their clients for that right now in this new tax season or whatever we call this right. time where we just finished
right.
filing.
Right.
Because if there's a loss of, what, $17,000 in this example, they've got to be thinking about where else can I make that up? Mm-hmm. Because we're talking about a huge, for some people, a significant shift in lifestyle. I mean, $17,000 is a lot of money for some people.
Right. And there are some things they can do, both on the charitable end. There are things you can do to minimize that impact, but you need to know that ahead of time. And there are things that you can do. You can become what's called a statutory employee if you have a lot of business expenses that aren't reimbursed. So there's things you can do, but you need to get started with that and understanding it right now. Mm-hmm. So we are trying to educate people, not just our clients, but other people that we come in contact with to prepare them for the things like that. The other thing is they did almost double the standard deduction, but they were sneaky in that they took away all the personal exemptions. And that was scheduled to go up to $4,100 a person. So Karen, you're married, so you have $4,100 for you, $4,100 for your husband. That's gone. So no longer do you get that $8,200 deduction. And now people that have eight kids, and my wife is the oldest of eight, and eight kids in the family, they were, this year, if all of those kids were still young and at home, that's a $32,000 deduction. That's gone. Now it's replaced by a child tax credit. But that's only up to the age of 17. So if you happen to have a 17 and a 19 and a 21 and a 23 all going to high school and college, you don't get those. So you just lost $4,000 for each one of those.
Yeah, and I do have those. I have the 21 and 23-year-old that I'm still paying health insurance for
right.
and car mm-hmm. insurance for. So that's
you lose
shocking.
That. So yeah. A lot of times what we're seeing is even though they doubled the standard deduction with the change in dependent exemptions, there was no tax savings. And again, this is where people are misled when tax laws are debated and passed. Is nobody, not nobody, but very
not
few people understand what it really is going to look like. Mm-hmm. And it's a very easy calculation. So if you get in and meet with somebody, they can tell you real quick. They can take your 2017 tax return and look and tell you what it's going to do in 2018 with the same numbers.
Yeah, so a lot of changes, most of them good for the bottom line of the majority of people, and for the select few, there's things to understand before getting surprised come tax time next year.
Yeah, wow, fascinating. What is the most satisfying, two-part question, what is the most satisfying aspect of working with each other? I mean, we talked around it, but if you could think of like one thing that maybe we've been having shared with each other, and then also what is the most satisfying thing that you get out of doing the business that you do?
I'd say I'll start with the first part. The most satisfying thing about working with each other is just building on our relationship. We've always had a good relationship. We always were, you know, friends as I was growing up, basically, and spent a lot of time together. And that's one of the things that I saw in his business where I thought, you know, I want to be available for my kids and my family the way he was as owning his business and all that, with some of the flexibility. So we've always had the good relationship because we've spent a lot of time together. And I think a lot of times that goes away. I see that with a lot of my peers where that goes away with their families. And because we've worked together, we've, I say the word been forced, but that's a bad word. But we end up spending a lot of time together that we wouldn't necessarily. So as a result, we've strengthened our relationship in a way that I don't think we would have been had I worked somewhere else, mm-hmm. you know, rather than with him. So that's really the number one benefit to me, beyond the fact that we've built this business that we love and clients that we love, is that we've been able to do it together.
I just can't think of anything better than spending my day. I think I've already said it, but spending my time and working beside somebody that I just absolutely love and trust. And again, just have the relationships that I have with both of my kids.
And admire. There's this admiration that I hear coming both ways, which is so neat to mm-hmm. to witness and see. And how about satisfaction? The second part of that question for both of you around, you know, what is it that that really gets you jazzed as it relates to working with clients?
Helping other people. And I know any business person is going to say that, but I want people to feel good. Kevin mentioned peace and calmness. I want to bring peace and calmness to people's lives. I've always tried to be an encourager to all of my friends, all of my family, trying to encourage them to get more out of life, to enjoy what they're doing. And I like being able to do that from a business standpoint via accounting and tax to the degree that works. And also talking about their financial life, financial planning, helping them with budgeting and things like that. That's what gives me the satisfaction, is just knowing that I have made a difference in somebody's life. I worked in the corporate world for 10 years before I went out on my own. And I would continue to say to my wife, I'm not getting anything out of this. I don't feel like I'm doing anything good for the world. I was involved in auditing and accounting and tax in the corporate world. And I thought at the end of the day, what difference does all this make? I'm not helping anybody. And that's where I get my reward.
Yeah. I mean, it's making a positive difference in others' lives. It's when you see the clients who felt weighed down, and you mentioned before the well-being, the emotional well-being, physical well-being. When you see clients come in to your office for the first time who are weighed down or who are overwhelmed or whatever it is, and whether it's a week later or a year later, or 2 years later, that you can see that I've played a small part in making them a little better, where they don't have this stress in their lives, or maybe it's gotten better. That's the biggest benefit to me. It's meeting these people, making a difference in their lives, and just being able to help them with a situation, a subject that to most people is complicated and overwhelming, and being able to break it down into bite-sized pieces that they can manage.
I love numbers. I always have loved numbers, but I love people more than I love numbers. And so to me, the numbers are not what it's all about. And yeah. I try to get other people to focus on other important things in their life, not just the numbers. So we just feel like we do a lot of counseling in addition to.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah. And you have to be a people person to be able to do that, because numbers aren't relationships, sure. Although we should have right. relationships with our numbers. But yeah. I hear you saying that it's people first and right. and being tender and meeting them where they're at.
Exactly.
And helping to celebrate the successes along the way, and also being patient and kind and give them some opportunity to probably tell their story too, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because there's this opportunity to kind of shed that disappointment or that embarrassment we spoke to earlier when you're sitting with your advisor, you know, your accountant. You've got to right. be able to say, like, you know, hey, this is what happened, and mm-hmm. help me clean this up.
I work with a lot of women over the years that have come to me. They've lost a spouse, or they've become divorced. Their husband walked away from the marriage just overnight, and they're in shock. They don't know what they're going to do. They are not prepared for it. They know nothing about taxes. They know nothing about the finances. They've been kept in the dark. I love that. I love working with them and taking them. And a lot of them come to us, and they're not very trusting of us.
Well, right.
One, because we're men.
Yep.
And they have their guard up because they've been hurt. And I love that challenge of taking them and trying to gain their trust and confidence and then helping them feel better about where they're at. Those are the kinds of things that make my day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm just, as you were talking here, I get more things that are popping in my head, but I always explain it, especially on the accounting with some of the business accounting and QuickBooks and all that, figuring out some of the puzzles. We like solving puzzles. I've always liked that from a young age and you know, solving puzzles for myself as I was growing up, but now helping other businesses solve their issues where it's something that they just say, I don't know how to make sense of these numbers. I don't know how to read this financial statement. I don't know how to put these things together. And it's just solving those puzzles and putting those things together and interpreting the numbers and making sense of it and what it means and how important it is. That's one thing that I would say, not just helping people, but if you're asking specifically, is really putting together those pieces and forming the full picture for these clients.
It's a lot of fun taking subject matters that most people find, one, boring, and two, extremely confusing, and just easily being able to take care of that for them. That's just fun for us. And you yeah. talk about puzzles. I mean, some of it is solving a puzzle, but it's just dealing with areas that other people, that they have to deal with in their everyday life. You have to deal with taxes. And if you're in business, you have to deal with some set of accounting records. We like making that easy, making it a little easier for them at least.
Yeah. Randy, about 10 years ago, you were thinking about phasing out and narrowing the business.
Right.
And so for about 10 years, you've been working together. Is that right?
Right.
Yeah. How long do you see yourself in the business still? Or is that even a fair question to ask?
Oh, it's a fair question. My clients ask me that all the time.
Oh, I bet they do.
Especially the ones that knew that I was winding things down.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Now, what I told them is I was keeping a certain group of them together and I would stay with them. And they have always trusted in that and believed in that. But now that they see me expanding, they say, so how much longer are you going to do this? I don't want to ever retire. And I have worked with a lot of people in my career. I've worked with a lot of high-level executives, Fortune 500 presidents. I've had the opportunity and the pleasure to work with them over my career. And I have watched them build up through their career. Many of them have been with me for 35 years. I watched them grow in their career, peak, and then retire. And in most cases, not all, but in most cases, my observation is I watch the decline and I don't want that to happen. And then I see the clients, especially the small business owners that, or even the executives that do retire and then get involved in something else after they retire, their minds stay engaged and they stay healthy. They just tend to be healthier, happier, and more productive. And my role model is going to be 90 on June 4th. He's a client of mine. He's operated 4 businesses actively and up until about age 86. He now has some issues, health issues that he has to deal with. And so he is phasing out of those businesses now. But he has been an incredibly sharp mind, and I've watched him stay engaged with his clients and stay engaged with his business. And I have said, that's what I want to do. And again, I've watched so many clients that haven't done that. And I just don't think that ends well, including my dad. I watched my dad took early retirement. He had a high level executive position in town here. He took early retirement. He then went on and did a few other things, but he lost the meaning of his life, really. And he did live he still lived to be 85, but I think he could have lived even longer. And I think he would have had a healthier end had he had more to concentrate on. I just think you need to keep pushing yourself no matter how old you are.
And that's something we talk about with some of our business clients who are in the stage of maybe thinking about wrapping it up and saying, when should I get out of this business? When should I sell it or phase out? And we always ask the question, what are you going to do if you sell? Or what are you going to do if you get out of this business. Mm-hmm. If it's going home and watching TV all day, then you might as well just stay in. And, you know, if it's still something that gives you some excitement, because just getting out and ending your business life that you've probably been used to for 40, 50 years and been doing every day, focused on every day, thinking about those things, then you might as well stay in. And that's really one of the things that we've talked about with each other, with our business, is that staying involved in some capacity, whether not necessarily full-time when you're 90, but in some capacity. And
continuing to learn and to grow and pushing yourself a little bit.
Yeah, because if you're not learning, if you're not growing, then you're just shrinking. And no matter what stage of life you're in, that's not a place to be.
Yeah.
And I don't think people that say they're going to do charity work, I just don't think that's enough. I do see people going back to Toastmasters. I do see exceptions in Toastmasters. And that's one of the things that I really like about Toastmasters. I got involved so late in my life in it. You can be very engaged in that and you can get extremely active. And we know some people that are working, they're retired and they're spending 40 to 50 hours working on Toastmasters. And that is a volunteer organization. It is a charitable organization, but it is like running a business. If you are in leadership, it's tough and you have to be involved in a lot of committees and a lot of moving parts, and it keeps those people engaged. And I do see that. So I'm encouraging a lot of people now as they're starting to think about retirement to get involved in groups like Toastmasters, where they can really continue using their management skills and other skills that they have and continue to help the community and help other people.
And stay sharp.
Right. Yeah, that's the biggest thing. Whether it's finding Toastmasters or whatever, something that keeps you sharp and active and keeps that mind engaged the way that you've been used to throughout your whole working life. You don't want to just stop that one day and not use your mind again.
Yeah.
And I think that's where you are, you know, the position where you think about it 15 years from now or something like that. You don't want to ever just get out. And I don't want you to ever get out. He has so much knowledge that is not replaceable.
I would miss my clients so much. I mean, the relationship I have with my clients is what I enjoy. And I always look forward to tax season. By the end of tax season, I'm tired. I'm a little burnt out.
But you've had a good time.
But I've enjoyed it because I meet with most of my clients during that time. And I would really miss that. I can't imagine not having that interaction with people that really matter.
It's so neat to have you today on the first broadcast from the Max 6 studio, because part of our sponsorship is not only with Max 6, but Conscious Capitalism AZ. And I was thrilled that you had a chance to meet Kyle McIntosh. And
so are we.
And everything, you know, we've had a brief conversation before when we talked about Toastmasters previously. And I knew when we spoke then that you just fit within this idea of conscious capitalism, and it's just part of who you are, which is really exciting. So I'm looking forward to getting to know you more through that, because I think there will be opportunities for us to continue to have these kinds of conversations and hopefully pass along some new clientele to you. Certainly small business owners, that's who we get to spend a lot of time with here at Business Radio X. For our listeners who haven't had a chance to get to know you and they've been listening today and are intrigued and would like to have an introduction, what is it like to, what's the first step? Just reaching out through email or your website or a conversation? How does one get started with you?
Can reach us on our website at tutorfinancialgroup.com. That's probably the quickest and easiest way. Our phone number is there. Contact us forms are there.
And that's Tudor, T-U-D-O-R. Some people spell it T-U-T-O-R.
Yeah, right. Yeah. T-U-D-O-R, financial group, all spelled out, .com.
Right. Or we're on Facebook as well, each of us within our business page, Tudor Financial Group. We respond to messages and inquiries via Facebook as well. So those are probably the two best locations, the quickest spots to reach us.
And we always offer a complimentary session so that we can get to know each other and make sure that we're a good fit, that you like working with us and that we're going to like working with
you.
So we always offer that to every new client.
Excellent. And that can be done via...
You can do it any way you want.
Yeah, in our office or through a webinar type of...
Over the phone or on the webinar.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Meeting. Yeah. Well, thank you both again. This was a last minute opportunity. I took a little risk and I thought, gosh, I'm just going to reach out and see if the two of you are available. And I'm thrilled that you said, you know what, let's do it. So it's a great reminder for me to be more spontaneous and trust that when I have a sense that I need to spend some time with people, that it may work out. So thank you for being available. And of course, we invite you back again. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.